mass counseling for us as a church. And I include myself in this, so just so you know. But let's pray for the message today, and we'll pray that something we all get something from it. Lord, I bring us to you today, and I ask that you would speak to all of us concerning change in our life and how that works and what it means to us and how you want us to be transformed as your people. In Jesus' name, amen. As I say, I want to do some mass counseling for about 3 weeks here, just kind of get us going. And the series is Transitions, and we all go through them. If you think about just our lives as we proceed through this next year, now, if you're first time here, I'll talk to you in just a second. But we are in the midst of the 21st century, and it's 2020, and the winds of change are upon us with gale force in the world. In the midst of all the change that is in the world, there are also changes that are happening in our personal lives as well, and we also need to couple with that what is happening to us as a church. I mean, last week I was your head pastor. Today I'm your transitional pastor, and as a church, we are on the front end of change, you might say. Next year at this time, I expect things will be very different. We may not be the church we are right now, and that's the truth. And if we know the truth, it will set us free to be what we're supposed to be. So I want to talk to you about change and growth today. And this, if you write stuff down, this is what you write down. Change is inevitable. Growth is optional. Change is inevitable. Growth is optional. Now, I think we need to grow as a church. And it takes faith to do that because you have to risk yourself for Jesus' sake. And by the way, this church took a vote about 15 years ago to be a church that wants to grow. I think we are, as a church, need to commit ourselves to grow. Now, change is upon us, but growth is optional. And for us as a church, this is the age of change. But we live in an age of change in history as well. But we follow a Savior who demands change in His people because God is creative. He is always changing things and people. The main scripture for today is Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, and I have it printed in your bulletin. Let's read it together. Here we go. I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may prove what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. How do we grow with change? Be you transformed by the renewal of your mind. And let your mind set aside the past and begin to act like a person who has just come into this church. Now, I want you to try to do this. If we all visualize ourselves like we are new members of a newly formed church, we will not be shackled by old ways of thinking. One of the things that has happened to me as I laid down the head pastor job here is I got to put down luggage. And let me tell you, that's a good thing. You know, we're living in an exciting age of unprecedented change. In the years from 1970 to 2020, which is this year, we have experienced change equivalent to the last 500 years. The winds of change are upon us in gale force. And to go with the changes in the world are always personal changes in our lives. And we as a church are also in the midst of transition, change. Change is not new, It's the rate of change that is affecting us so dramatically in our lives in this world. The acceleration has presented us with unique challenges. Also, in terms of the us as a church, a lot of it has to do with technology. As the rate of change increases, we have to increase our willingness, our ability to adapt to things that are around us, but not only that, but to work the environment. We need to be transformed by the reworking of how we think about ourselves and how we do ministry. We all experience change differently. We all handle change differently. We as a church are about to experience an environmental condition that has placed us and will place us under quite a bit of stress as we change leadership. Anytime change takes place in a person's life or a group's life, it is stressful. Now, I want to talk to you about change and growth today. There are a high number of high-stress changes that come at us through our problems. Some of these, I'm talking about individuals and families now, some of these are the death or the illness of someone in the family. It could be the death of a spouse, or it could be an illness or something, or it could be a parent or a child, or it could be somebody who's near to you. But these things really affect us. Divorce or separation can tear us apart because of the change that is brought about. Getting married can be a change that is stressful. Problems with children, family conflict, personal injury or illness, constant pressure from work, the workplace. And sometimes that's self-imposed, but a lot of times that can be imposed by the boss or whoever's in charge. Building a home is highly stressful. Moving, if you change locations or changes where you live, that can be tough. Changing jobs. All these are high-stress changes, and we experience them as individuals, as families. Now, we as a church are in a high-stress change as well, because we're in the midst of a leadership change here, and we're in that process. So it is stressful. Now, as we experience this change as a church, self-evaluation, self-understanding can be very helpful to us all. I have found that when it comes to self-understanding and the understanding of situations, we need to ask the right questions. Let me throw out a few of the questions for you to ask yourself concerning change. Whether it's the change that we are going to be experiencing in our church or just change in your own life personally. Now, one of the things I would need to say to this is this is mass counseling for us as a church, but I'm also going through this. You understand that. You may not think about me. You may think about me like Pinocchio, you know. He's wooden, but I'm not. And I have asked these questions about myself and also about us as a church and as a group of people. What changes have you experienced in the last 2 years? Think about it. What have you learned from those changes about yourself and other people? How comfortable are you with change? How eager are you to face change? Do you accept the change we are facing willingly? Can you examine your perception of our change with an open mind? See, I've had to ask these questions of myself. One of the things that happens to us during extreme change is how we handle this situation of change. Most of us are afraid of change. Did you know that? And that fear manifests itself in varying degrees in various ways. So I've been watching you. I've also been watching myself in terms of that, how that stuff. Psychologists tell us that our fear of change comes primarily from the loss of personal identity. When a major change occurs, our internal dialogue sounds something like this: I won't know how to act. You know, I'm dealing with this. Okay, my relationship with you is changing. I won't know how to act. I won't fit after this change. I won't be me anymore after this change. And, you know, these kinds of thoughts and feelings can be very unsettling, at least. And in the extreme, they can be very threatening to you. We spend most of our lives figuring out who we are, identifying ourselves, staking out a place in the world based on our own self-perception. But when someone wants us to abandon our security by altering how we perceive ourselves, we almost always put up barriers because it brings about fear. As we change as a church, one of the things we must work at for each other is to prevent the loss of self-identity by helping each other find the answer to these questions. Who and what will I become in this new church? How do I identify myself during and after this change is completed? Will this change be an improvement for me? And if so, how? And as we deal with these questions as a congregation, we become aware of the positive things that are present. As I said, I'm doing a little bit of mass counseling for a few weeks here because we have to process what is happening to us. I have to process what is happening to me. Change for us as a congregation is not easy for everyone. The longer you are a member of this church, the more the changes that are happening will cause distress. We need to understand something about ourselves as well. We are of all different ages here, and we have different lengths of membership in the church, as well as different psychological makeups, and we don't all have the same tolerance for change. What is happening to us as a church affects us, all of us, in different ways, including me. An outward appearance is not always a true indicator of what somebody is feeling. So we need to pay attention to each other and be sensitive to the feelings of each other. We're going to go through these changes together. And we need to understand this rule. They aren't going to stop. So we need to help each other. And we all have different tolerances for the intensity of change. Now, we all face changes in our lives, whether it's the change we are now facing as a church or personal changes that we all encounter from time to time in our lives. And as I said, I'm doing some mass counseling here for your own individualized as well. There are three basic ways that cause dramatic change in a person's or a group's life. They are trauma, the passage of time, and by design. There are personal traumas, which some of us in this congregation have faced recently, and, you know, who knows about today. But there are traumas that we may remember that are years back a ways. And these are things like job loss, or they are illness. Could be divorce or death. These endanger our physical, emotional, intellectual, and spiritual well-being. And they are extreme traumas that can affect us in very personal ways. You know, when companies close their doors and people get laid off from a lot of jobs, I've experienced this. When some kind of tragedy happens in a family, I see this kind of stuff. And that's when the trauma hits. For some in this church, pastoral change is traumatic, me included, as opposed to change by design, by leadership. During trauma, we lose the option of gradual adjustment. So what I'm doing, basically, you know, being transitional pastor here, I am pumping the brakes. So I don't go through the windshield. And maybe some of you too. You know, We're forced to learn new ways of doing things in less than ideal situations. Traumatic changes cause enormous stress, and those ultimately, there may be some benefit from it, but it's usually tremendously painful, and it's a very strong learning process. And I'm trying to avoid trauma here. So we're changed by design. And if we can do it in a by pumping the brakes, so to speak, that's a good thing. We don't go through the windshield. The second cause of change is the passage of time. And we look at a picture album and we see ourselves out in outdated clothing and funny hairstyles, and yet it seems like it was just yesterday that these styles were in vogue. I mean, last week, if you were here last week when Alyssa Wolber, when I was presented with a picture of myself, oh my God. I want to say, well, Alyssa, if I'd known you'd been doing that, I'd get you one of my pictures from 40 years ago. You know, and it's just the passage of time. And these changes come upon us really unnoticed. Yet even these changes can be traumatic to some when the full realization hits you. Kind of like when, it did not bother me when I turned 40, but when Berta turned 40, that really hit me hard. I was married to a 40-year-old woman. We can also learn from the passage of time how flexible we can be with change. By the way, think about what you are, where you were and what you were doing in life in 1998. Looks like everybody here is at least 22 years old, so maybe there's one back there. 1998. What babies were born? What were you doing at that time in your life? If you think about all the changes that have happened to you in your life just since 1998, that, by the way, is the year I came here. We can apply them to future change, whether it's personal or collective as a church. You know, personally for me, that was 21 years ago. I had come from a large ministry down in Western Kentucky, and suddenly I was back here. The third way that change comes is by design. That is, change by choice. You know, I was called by the people of this church to bring about growth in size and spiritual life 21 years ago, and I was called to be an agent of change to this congregation, and I took that call seriously at that point in time. Change by design. And I labored over that under that basic principle that if we're faithful to the Lord Jesus in little things, then we'll be given larger things to do as stewards or in terms of ministry. And as transitional pastor, which I start this Sunday, this year, I'm an agent of change for you by design. And it's always been my intention to lead you to anticipate change and bring about productive change. And today, we as a church stand on the threshold of the future. We're changing by design in terms of ministry that the Lord Jesus calls us to be. I've found over the years that I seem to have been a mixed blessing to people. Sometimes it's a blessing, sometimes it's a curse. But I have a sense to create my own future. And I ask questions like, why not? Why can't we try something new? I'm a transformational leader. I've always been pushing on this church to change from the inside out. My exhortation is the same as the Apostle Paul. Be you transformed, be you changed by the renewal of your mind. And this becomes a little bit nerve-wracking for some people. And I hear this thought regularly for some of you. Every time I figure out where it's at, Jack moved it. I have been a change master. In fact, you know when the lights went out here about 2 or 3 months ago, I heard somebody say, well, what's he up to this Sunday? I've always been one to change situations. Read with me Matthew chapter 16, verse 25. For whoever would save his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. We're called to continual change by our Lord Jesus. We are to be transformed, literally a new creation in Christ. And the interesting thing about creation is that it's not something that just happened once and stopped. Creation is a continual happening, and it is a process. The only constant change is change. Change is inevitable, but growth is optional. Jesus said, "Go and sell all that you have and come and follow me." And the reason that was given for not taking the risk was, good thought, but impractical. I don't want to. Jesus said, "Judge not and you will not be judged. Condemn not and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven." And this reason was given for not taking the risk. Well, God, we'll never be able to do that. Jesus says, "Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back." And the reason was that was given for not taking the risk was, you're right, but I got to live. Jesus said, "You must be born again." And the reason for not taking that risk is, I've not done that before. I can't do that. Jesus said, "Enter by the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter it are many." And the reason for not taking the risk, nobody has ever done it before, and I might be going alone. Jesus said, "Because you have been faithful in little things, I will set you over larger things." And the reason for not taking the risk, I don't think the congregation will like it. Jesus said, "Follow me." And the reason that was given was, well, I don't think the staff will like that. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." And the reason for not taking the risk of changing behavior, we're just not ready for it. Jesus said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another or as I have loved you." And our answer is, that's too radical a change, or that's impossible. When we're dealing with the Lord Jesus, we're dealing with a Lord who is always calling us to radical change. The master of change is Jesus. Be you transformed by the renewal of your mind. And this continuing transformation is the central theme of both the Old and the New Testaments. We grow in Christ, but it takes courage to grow. It takes courage. The opposite of courage is not cowardice, but adjusted personalities, conforming to the world. As we change in 2020, my commitment to you is to make your time here a life-changing experience. It will be my goal to be like what someone wrote concerning Jesus. There he is. He's in the church again, causing trouble, speaking very differently from other preachers, speaking with authority about sorrow and joy and worry and peace and sickness and health and life and death, penetrating the dark corners of human life with divine light, shattering the illusion with truth. Make no mistake about it, this is a dangerous man. I want to be like Jesus. This may be a dangerous place to be in 2020. But when Jesus has always looked for heroes and heroines to do his work, what is needed today is not well-adjusted personalities, but terribly unadjusted personalities like Jesus. The cross is the eternal symbol of an unadjusted personality in a sinful world. You know, the way I look at it, the future just isn't what it used to be. But I'm going there anyway, and so are you. I hope you're going with transformation in your mind. Be you transformed by the renewal of your mind. Because of the many hard and radical changes Jesus proposed, many of his disciples drew back and no longer went about with him. Then Jesus said, "Will you go away also?" And Peter answered in the midst of that change, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed." Read with me Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 to 15. Here we go. "Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brethren, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of you who are mature be thus minded, and if in anything you are otherwise minded, God will reveal that also to you." Change is inevitable. Growth is optional. And we're called to grow, and may that be our choice always as we help those around us to grow as well. Let's pray. Lord, I ask that you would help us all to be transformed in our minds, so that we would be open to the changes that you bring about in our life, but not only open to them, but to grow through them as well. In Jesus' name, amen.